Hello and welcome to the Self Explained podcast. I'm your host, Katie O'Donohue, the self-care coach. And on this podcast, I'm going to be bringing you through all things relationships, self-love, and mindset. This is a podcast for those looking to elevate their level of consciousness, to increase their self-awareness, so that they can transform the relationship with their self and ultimately transform their life. So for today's show, I have asked Tracy Colopy, founder and owner of Training with Tracy and an online coach, on to discuss everything from body confidence to her personal journey. So Tracy, thank you for coming on the show.
No problem at all. Thank you so much for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, really, really, really good. I've been really excited to do this podcast with you because I see you being active online and I'm just like, ooh, I'm like, she's got so much to talk about. I want to have her on and just see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
So if you want to start off by just telling people how you got to be where you are today in terms of your career or your own personal kind of growth, whatever you want to talk about, you just take it away.
Okay, cool. Okay, we'll start off with career. So I started personal training, I'm going to say 2 years ago now, and I was working in a gym. So I was doing my course in college and I was working in a gym part time. So I was doing half college work and the other half in the gym. So that was fine. When COVID hit, I had slightly started to start my online business. So we had foundations there. We had a system in place, but I didn't have many clients. I'd say before COVID hit, I had about 5 online clients. So I'd been going to seminars and I had been going to all these events to try to, I suppose, to like get it up and running and get it off the ground. And they were great. But when COVID hit, it actually, I didn't really have a light bulb moment until we were about 2 months into lockdown. So again, it was still tipping away. And I was like, okay, everyone is at home. And, you know, it's like people don't have access to the gyms. And I have a system set up that can essentially take on as many people as I'm willing to handle. So I was like, okay, let's get the ball rolling and let's start pushing it. So that was kind of when it took off. We were about 2 months into lockdown and I was like, okay, we're going to do a challenge. I remember I'd started renting. I didn't even start renting my office at this stage, but I had started, I was in my office. I started renting an office and I was by myself. So we were actually still able to go in. And I was sitting there and I was like, okay, what am I going to do to kind of, you know, get some excitement going? And I was like, okay, I'm going to do a challenge. And within like 15 minutes, I just wrote down what was included in the challenge. And I went on my stories. I was like, it's going to offer this, 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 and this. And I literally just got so many messages that I had to actually there and then set up a website because I was sending out my PayPal details. So within like one day, it was like I had just thought of this idea. And it was just, I suppose it was just luck that I was like, okay, I'm just going to go on my story and see what the reaction is like to it. And from there, that was the first challenge. And we actually ended up having 100 people on it and it went down really well. So I was quite lucky that I was able to just get those 100 people in, give them a really good service. And it just kind of continued from there. So it was like they had told people and there was like really good feedback. So from that first challenge, it kind of just snowballed. So now we are employing, I think it's 14 people at the moment. So in the space of a year, it's gone from like just being me to having all these like nutritionists and trainers and recipe creators. And it's like, yeah, it just basically snowballed since that first day. So yeah, that's how we got to where we are today.
Oh my goodness. I'm like, that's literally been like a phenomenal growth in the space of a year.
I know, like, it's insane. And I'm still like, oh my God, me and Carol were cooking last night. We were doing a Q&A and someone was like, what does it feel like to be so successful at 22? And I was like, I don't feel so successful. Like it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, you know, it still hasn't sunk in. And I'm like, I'm not successful. Like, what are they all about? And then it's like, okay, you need to kind of take a step back and just actually look at it from an outside perspective. But yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Like,
and you know, when you started your career, we'll say last year, even when the pandemic kind of was hitting,
yeah.
Were you ever kind of worried that it might not take off? Or were there any fears of you kind of going out on your own and just,
oh my God,
it is a risk, yeah. You know, sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I still had my job in the gym when COVID was going on, and I can't remember how long we were into COVID, but I was like, I wonder if I'm going to be able to go back to the gym after this. And I remember Carol being like, of course you will. Like, you know, you know, this is probably might be just a phase because everyone is like locked in. And I was like, yeah, maybe. And then as it went on, it was like, okay, no, I'm definitely not going back to the gym. So that was when I had to make the decision. Like, I had a secure job in the gym, but I also had this thing on the side where it's like, okay, am I just going to fully commit to this? Because I could have just said, okay, that was great while lockdown, you know, was happening, but now it's time to go back to my other job. And I was like, no, I'm actually just going to just go for it, see what happens. Like, I knew my gym job would always be there. So I was like, just take the risk and just go for it. And I'm so happy I did, of course, because it's paid off and I can, it's only growing as well, which is the exciting part about it. But it is very, very scary when you have to make that decision, because it's like, I suppose that the one thing I had on my side as well, I was like, I'm 22, but doesn't work out, you know, it'll be fine. So that kind of took the scare off a little bit, but it definitely is very scary at the time when you're going through it.
And did you always kind of, because it sounds like you had like self-trust and you really could go by your own intuition when you say that you wrote everything down within a day and you just jumped on your stories. Did you always have that kind of like inner guidance and like belief in yourself? Or
it's funny, I wouldn't even say it's belief. I'm just such a person that if I think of something, I want it done like now. Like, even let's say with my office here, I was like, the other day I wanted to do it up and it's like everything has to get out like now. It's like I just get these ideas and I'm like, I'm so impatient that I'm like, let's do it now. Even with my dog, I was like, oh, I love a dog. And I just rang the owner, I was like, can I see him? Went out that night and he was like, yeah, come and get him. And I was just like, I just had a dog, like, you know, I just so spontaneous. So I don't even think it was self-trust. I think it was just more like I just get excited and I want to do it. Because we've spoke about this a little bit, like I would suffer really bad with imposter syndrome. So it's more like I do it. And then a few days later, like a few weeks later, I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? And then those like feelings start to creep in. So yeah, it's more just impulse, I guess.
I mean, I have those feelings too. Every day I'm waking up and I'm like, am I actually this crazy to be going ahead with things? So I get the whole imposter syndrome where you're like, one minute you're like, yes, I got this, super confident. This is what I'm made for. And then the next day you're like, oh no.
Yeah, literally, honestly.
And it's like this like up and down kind of movement. I'm like, it's like a roller coaster when you're like an entrepreneur, because that's what you are essentially.
Yeah, and even I suppose like that, you're going to have really good days, but then you're going to have a few weeks where you're like, oh my God, this is insane. And it's like, you can't understand it. What I have found recently is I'm trying to really push past those uncomfortable phases, because what I'll do is when I get to those phases, I'll typically shy away and I'll be like, oh, I'll kind of go quiet on my stories and like I won't be posting as much because I'm like, oh, it's really friggin' scary. But in the last few weeks, I'm like, okay, when I get to that phase, that's where I need to push past to be able to come out the other side. And it's having that grit, I suppose, to just keep on going, even when you are feeling like that. Because I'm like, looking, I think I look at the, let's say, the outside perspective. I'm like, they're looking in at me being like, she's annoying. But that's in my own head. And I'm like, okay, if some people may be thinking that, but majority probably aren't. So it's like, just keep pushing past that phase until you come out the other side, until it's comfortable again. So that's kind of where I'm at now, is just trying to get past that sticky stage instead of shying away from it.
I mean, it's only natural though. You are a human being at the end of the day. So those dips are like part and parcel of the journey, but it's what makes the journey, I guess. Yeah. And speaking of your journey, you know, how did you kind of, I guess, deal with, because I'm not sure what kind of course you did for personal training or how you got into that career path, for example, but I know you talked in your stories about your experiences with school, but did you ever feel any pressures to kind of go to a mainstream college, so to say, or university as people call it?
Yes. So when I was in school, as I had mentioned, I wasn't very academically smart. I'd actually just kind of given up on the whole thing. Like I had kind of made the decision to pick my mental health over the stress that it was causing me. So I'd honestly just kind of given up on the whole thing. And I remember someone saying to me, if you go and be a personal trainer, you're just going to work in the gym for the rest of your life. And it's not a good career. It's not a good job. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I was like, will I go and do business? I wouldn't have had the points to go and do business straight away. I would have had to do a course or something before I got in. So that was kind of my options. I was like, will I go and do personal training? But at this stage, I was kind of like, if I do, it's, you know, I'm just going to be working really long hours for not that great money, or else I can go and do business. And I was so torn. I was like, okay, look, I'm just going to take the year out. But there was a huge pressure to, I suppose, get into a business course rather than doing something that I love, which was personal training, and which I was kind of set on until I had heard, you know, other people's opinions and listened to other people's voices. And yeah, I think when I actually decided to make the decision, I'd made it for myself and not based on anyone else or wanting to please anyone else. And yeah, it ended up being obviously the best thing for me because I'd made the decision for myself and not made it for someone else.
And that's like an amazing thing to do at like that age, you know, because a lot of 18 or 17 year olds, you know, when you're deciding for college, I know in my case, I felt like, oh, my dad wants me to do accounting and he doesn't want me to really do psychology. In case he's listening to this, it wasn't that he doesn't want me to do it, but yeah, he kind of scared me being like, do you want to listen to people's problems all day? And it's funny because at that age, I was kind of doubting and having those fears. I guess you probably had the same ones too, but you were so set on doing your personal training that, you know, you knew what you wanted to do at such a young age and you were set on it and that was it.
But
for, let's say, the other side of people who don't actually have that, you know, set notion or idea to do what they want to do, it can be such a challenging time. In terms of, you know, kind of other pressures around that kind of age in particular, I think, you know, when body image issues particularly start to really happen, it's like those transitional years from like primary school to school and then school to college that it all happens. But as a trainer, because I see your amazing physique and everything online and I'm like, wow, she's got so much body acceptance and love and confidence. How was that journey for yourself? Did you have any challenges or were you always just, you were able to accept?
No, when I was younger, I had not a great relationship with food. So I had kind of, I suppose, the mindset that a lot of young people have is that you have to really restrict yourself to get results. And it was just this continuous cycle of restricting for maybe 4 or 5 days, because that's the only amount of time you can do these diets for. Like, they're just not sustainable. So I would go through phases of like eating really good, or what I thought I was good. I didn't even know anything about like protein or herbs or fats or anything like that. So like, let's say you'd be eating like salads and it's like they don't taste good, you know, and it's just like this thing of going through this cycle of restricting and then binging, and then it's like the complete other end of the spectrum where you're just eating absolutely crap and then you feel crap. And I remember one day I came home from school and I had like a big bowl of pasta, and I remember feeling so guilty after it. And it was like, that was kind of when I was like, okay, I need to really sort this out, because it was just continuously feeling guilt around food. And I remember how sick I felt after eating, because I completely binged on it. And I was just like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. And it was from then on, I was like, okay, I just want to start educating myself. I got a personal trainer. She helped loads. So I think getting a professional point of view on it is very important. But it is, aside from any of that, it is extremely difficult, I suppose, with social media and everything going on around you when you are that age and when you are vulnerable and when you don't understand. So I suppose my advice would be for any young people would be to seek some professional advice. And at the moment, there is a lot of good information out there that isn't too expensive. So it's to just look into it, and I suppose don't restrict and don't feel like you have to restrict yourself to get results. Think of it as a long-term process. It's your whole life. It's not something that you have to do in a few weeks. You know, it's a learning process. It's going to take time, and it will take some time to get to a position where you won't feel guilty around food, or you have a healthy relationship with food. So yeah, I suppose just invest in it instead of looking at it as something that's going to be short term for the summer, or, you know, going on a holiday or something like that.
Because it is very much in our culture as well that people are like, oh, the Christmas season's coming up, I'm going to do like this specific diet, or even, I won't name the brand now, but I think everyone will get it if, you know, drop a jean size in 2 weeks. I was victim to that kind of a diet when I was really, really young. And like, I felt the same as you, you know, eating foods as well, feeling guilty, not really having much control over it. And then thinking, you know, my train of thought was, oh, if it's there, I might as well eat it, because I'm going to eat it anyway. So I'll eat all of it. I don't know if it was like a similar journey to you or not, but I think it's women in general have these kind of food problems or body image struggles.
Absolutely, 100%. And I think a lot of it comes from, I suppose, our environment. You know, when you're hearing people being like, I suppose our parents, even though they don't mean to do it, it's like they're constantly talking about diets and going on this diet. And then it's like, as children, we kind of just think that's normal. So, but I do think it is changing when it comes to those kind of things. I think people are more, I suppose they're realizing more now that that's not the way to go. And it is changing slightly, where it's slowly but surely getting there. I still get absolutely crazy messages and it's like, you know, you just want to tell everyone. And I suppose as well, when I'm on Instagram, I'm like, guys, you don't, like, you know, you're trying to explain it. Some people don't understand, and until they actually try it, I guess. So yeah, it can be very difficult when you're hearing all of these different opinions and different things. But yeah, it's a long game, it's not a short one. So
yeah, but you're right though, with, you know, your environment and the way it kind of shapes your self-talk. And even like, you know, for any females within your household, if you're looking at them and their behaviors and stuff, you absorb that in an unconscious way. And I found like some of my behavioral patterns were the same as my mother's, for example, or exactly. If I was trying not to be like her, I was going the other extreme and it was just complete madness.
That's it. But, and we don't even realize when we're younger, you know, and I'm sure our parents don't realize either. It was literally just the culture at the time. But yeah.
In terms of, because I know we were both in a pageant together, but being on stage, you know, how was your kind of confidence levels for being out in such a kind of, I suppose, an exposed environment, because you have loads of people looking at you in a bikini. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've done any fitness competitions or not, but in terms of being on stage in a bikini as well, how was that kind of experience for you?
I just remember that experience. It completely, you're probably the same, it completely pushed me outside of my comfort zone. I think that was when I started to kind of find my feet. And that was when I was like, that was actually kind of the start of everything for me, which was quite funny. That's when I was just started my personal training and I just started doing one-to-one PT. So everything was just kind of taken off me there and I was just starting the Instagram thing and whatever. So I remember at the time it was a huge push outside of my comfort zone. And I actually, funnily enough, enjoyed it. I just had fun with it, you know. But it is, of course, getting up on stage in your bikini, it's like totally, you know, normal. So it, of course, you know, I was nervous or whatever. But I think the whole experience just kind of gave me the little push that I needed. So yeah.
I mean, I know, well, I guess in a way when I look back in it now, because I hired a personal trainer in the 2 years prior to that to kind of help heal my relationship with food, so to say, and obviously build up a body confidence. So I felt quite okay going on stage, but I was the type of person who ate backstage before I went on because I was like, what if I get hungry on stage? What if my tummy rumbles? Like, they were my thoughts before I went on stage. I was like, am I going to be able to last the entire show without food?
Yeah.
I was there like, munching on like a protein bar and nuts behind stage trying to get it in. But my anxiety, I could feel it in like my legs or my cheeks, you know, when you're trying to smile on stage and they're just like... Yeah. Flipping away and you're like, oh my goodness, stop. So I guess I enjoyed it, but I was definitely a little bit anxious being out there because I was like, couldn't see any of the faces, but you can see all the lights and you're like, whoa. You don't know where to look and stuff.
It's really funny though, and now that I'm looking back, so when I look it back, I remember at the time looking at some of the pictures that we got back. Oh my god, this is so weird. I remember looking at the pictures and I remember looking at one of them being like, oh, I don't look good there, I look kind of fat. Not fat, but I just remember I remember looking and being like, oh, I don't look great there. And I came across the picture a few months ago and I was like, oh my god, I look incredible. And I remember thinking back to when I was looking at that picture, criticizing every single thing about the picture, and I'm like, it's mad what our minds can do to us, because at the time I was like, oh my god, I look awful there. And when I look back at the picture, I'm like, I literally had abs, like, you know, there wasn't a pic of me. And I'm like, it's so crazy how we can manipulate ourselves to think that we look a certain way when in fact, you know, it's probably all in our head. But yeah, I just thought of that there, because when I was looking back at the picture the other day, I was like, oh my god, I can't believe I actually thought that about myself in this picture. So it's quite funny.
I mean, I do like feel like I've had those experiences too when I think of it, because I think though what may have helped me, and maybe it's the same for you, but like in terms of working on your mindset and actually, you know, training yourself not to do those things in a way, because I find like even some days I look in the mirror and the temptation is there, like the hum, the voice in the background is just about to pipe up. And then I'm just like, you know what? Even though you just woke up, you're pale, your hair is all over the place. Yeah. It's totally fine. This is life.
And I came across an Instagram page yesterday that kind of shows, I suppose, celebrities and Instagram influencers just normal. And I was like, Instagram is such a filtered highlight reel. And I'm guilty of it as well. But looking at everyone, you're like, oh my God, they're so perfect. And then you look at the real pictures and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, we're all actually the same. And like, I get days where I wake up and I'm like, oh, I don't like this about myself. And I don't like this. And again, you just have to snap out of it and be like, look at it. You're lucky to be able to get up in the morning and to be able to go to the gym and train and do what you love. And it's like, stop nitpicking at these little things and your imperfections. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we just all gotta accept it.
I know. I find like even recently I've been taking like a digital detox in a way. Like I haven't been on my stories. I haven't really posted that much, but it's partially because I was working through personal things, but also because I didn't want to be on social media all the time. And looking at everyone else like thriving in their careers, other coaches like doing their thing. And then there's me being like, I have no idea what to do right now. So I'm just going to, you know, disconnect from here until I get my focus or mojo back.
Of course. And I can guarantee, Katie, that everyone feels the exact same. Like it was funny, like, because when that girl said to me last night, how do you feel about being so successful? I'm like, I genuinely feel like I'm failing. Like, it's like, I'm trying to just stay afloat. And then people look at me and be like, oh my God, she's doing so well. And it's like, no, I'm literally just trying to keep afloat. Like I'm not, you know, and it's, I think you look at it from the outside and you're like, it looks all great. But then when you're actually in the position, it's like, I am literally just about tipping away here. So, you know, I think Instagram is such a highlight reel, and I can guarantee you're not the only coach who feels like they're just trying to keep their head above water.
I mean, you certainly look like you do have everything flowing, even if it feels like it's only tipping away. You're definitely in a flow. I can see it from your content and stuff. And even like how you present yourself online, like you're super authentic and you just show up as you are. And you're inspirational to me anyway. But in terms of, you know, your personal journey, I suppose, as an entrepreneur / coach, have you faced any other challenges outside of, you know, the imposter syndrome or maybe confidence levels?
I suppose when you're running a business, so at the start, it's like getting it up and running is fine. And then you are going through the experience of it. And I think one thing that got to me was before I went away, I had built up this clientele and I was working on the business and in the business at the same time. And that was kind of a point for me where I just got extremely overwhelming and it started to take away the enjoyment of it from me because I was trying to juggle too much at once. And let's say with any business, you're going to get complaints and you're going to get, you know, people not liking it or whatever. And I think that was the point for me where I started to really, it started to test me. I'm just such a sensitive person. If I get some feedback that everyone was always lovely, but if it was like something like, oh, maybe this what didn't work or I didn't enjoy this, I just take it to heart and I took it so personal. And it could have been nothing got to do with me. It could have been something got to do with the other person, you know. And it's learning all these things and how to actually take criticism and how to not take it personally. So when you're in business, it's going to come at you, and I'm starting to deal with it now. But it is very, very difficult at the start when you're like, oh my God, someone doesn't like something. And it's that gut-wrenching feeling. And you're like, holy shit, this is really friggin' scary. But yeah, you learn so much when you're going through this whole process and dealing with like employees and dealing with the volume of people that we have. It's like, you know, it's everything, every single day is a learning curve and a learning process, and you're just taking it all as it comes and trying to process it and trying to actually deal with it. And I got to a phase where I actually one week just shut down. I was like, I can't take this anymore. I turned off everything. I lay in my pajamas and I was like, I am going to actually have a mental breakdown if I don't just, I suppose, set boundaries because yeah. I was letting everything in. And it was like, that was then when I started to expand the team and, you know, get people on board. So again, everything happens for a reason. If that didn't happen, I probably wouldn't have brought those people in, and, you know, we probably wouldn't be where we are now. So yeah, I think it's just a whole learning process, and you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days.
Did you feel at any stage, you know, as a woman, because I feel like a lot of women in particular struggle to ask for help, and they feel like they always have to be the givers or the caretakers, so to say. Did you ever feel like you couldn't ask for help and for support before you expanded? Did you feel like, no, I got this on my own? Or what was your mindset kind of a thing?
Absolutely. Especially as a coach, you think, okay, people are signing up to my service to work with me. And you're like, how is it ever going to work if they're working with someone else? But I think the thing I kept in mind was, it's going to be my exact same methods and my way of doing things. It's just going to be with another person. So they're going to get the same results, and I'm still going to be in contact, but it's not going to be me directly. So it was very, very difficult to make that decision, because it's like, are people going to still buy in? Like, are they going to still want to use the service? So yeah, it is, it can be a tricky one. And even, I suppose, when you, yeah, like that, when you're struggling and it's like, who do you even turn to? I had my assistant Catherine at the time. I just remember being so thankful for her, because anything that I was like struggling with, I would like be like, Catherine, please, like, you know, what am I going to do? And I was, she was the only person I had at the time. And then when I decided to expand, it was like, okay, it just took so much pressure off. So asking, there is nothing wrong asking for help, first of all. But it definitely is hard to, I suppose, just let it go and just let people in and just trust in people as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally resonate with that. And I think a lot of people even listening to this episode might be like, oh, that's me. Like, I can't ask for help.
Yeah, exactly.
Even in terms of like everyday struggles, you know, or household duties or whatever it is that you feel like you can't ask for help for, it's actually okay to ask for help and give yourself permission to ask for help, I guess, as well. Exactly. But in terms of, you know, because I know you were in Marbella recently as well in Spain. How did you find that kind of period of your life? Was it the first time that you kind of moved away on your own? Had you done it before? How did you manage maybe your business or your relationship with Carol and whatever you want to talk about? I don't want to pry too much. I'm like, which direction will I go?
Let's go for it. So basically, I've made the decision to move away. Before I went away, I was quite depressed. I was in a really, it was probably the lowest stage of my life, and it was just before, so about 2 months before I went away, I was like not able to get up in the morning. I was just crying all the time. Like, Carol would come home in the evening and I'd just be in tears, and I just wouldn't know what was wrong with me. And I was just like, it was so strange, because I couldn't understand like why I was depressed when I had everything I'd ever wanted. And I was like, I have a beautiful home, I have an amazing boyfriend, like my family are so supportive, my business is doing really well. And for that simple reason, I could not understand why I was not happy. And I think, just to point out, I think it goes to show that you could have everything you ever wanted and still not be happy because your mental health isn't in a good space. And I was the type of person to be like, oh, when I lived with my grandparents before I lived with Carol, and it was like, oh, when I move into the house, I'll be happy, or when this happens, I'll be happy, or my business is here, I'll be happy. And I think I had made the decision to go away to give myself time to, I suppose, be with myself, to actually figure out what the heck was going on with me, because I've been going to therapy for the last year, and which has helped so much. I have all the tools, and I think I needed to start implementing those even more. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go away and just be with myself for a few months and, you know, figure all this stuff out, because, you know, I can't keep living like this. So I went away. Landed in Barcelona, and Barcelona was lovely, but it just did not suit me. I was like, it was like I was going an hour to the gym and an hour coming back and an hour to my food shop, and I just was all over the place. I was like, it was just too big a city for, I suppose, because I was only going for a short period of time. I just needed somewhere that had everything, and, you know, I could just go to the gym and tip away and whatever. So I decided to go to Marbella. Marbella was amazing. I absolutely loved it. Again, I came to the realization that no matter where I was in the world, I was still going to have issues unless I sorted it. You know, it wasn't like just going away, it was going to sort it all. And I think while I was away, I really started to appreciate what I had at home. Like, I missed Carol so much. I missed just having, you know, that homely feeling. You know, when you're at home and like you're just cozy and you're like, oh, you know. So I started to miss home, which I never thought I would. Like, my friends always used to say, they're like, Tracy is literally moving out of Ireland, she's never coming back. Like, I was always the person to be like, get me out of here. And there was always something stopping me. So when I left school, I wanted to go. When I, you know, there, I was moving to Bali and then the lockdown happened. So there was always something that was keeping me here. And when I met Carl then, it was like, he was my reason, but also COVID had hit, so I couldn't actually go anywhere. So I think unless COVID had hit, we've spoke about this, we actually wouldn't still be together because I would have just went off to Bali. You know, we were only seeing each other a few weeks, so we wouldn't have had the connection that we have now. So it's just funny how things work out. But anyway, I went away and I was like, oh my God, I'm missing home so much. And it was only then I realized how much I appreciated everything that I have here. And I suppose just doing like my journaling, like just literally crying and getting it all out is like, you know, what you need to do sometimes. And that's kind of what I did. Like I did a lot of crying. For the first 2 weeks, it was a lot of crying and like figuring my own shit out. And then I started to enjoy Marbella loads. Then my friends came over and it was just more fun. However, when I was in Marbella, I was like, okay, this is fantastic, but I want to get back to work. I want to start working on projects again. It was like my career was on a bit of a standstill. Mm-hmm. So my mom came over. I was like, you know what? I've absolutely loved my time here, but I'm so ready, first of all, to get back home and appreciate everything I have at home. And I'm also ready to just start working on my business again and start working on other projects and, you know, just get the ball rolling. So there was that. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to call it a day. I had 4 weeks left over there and I decided to come home early. But yeah, so that was that whole process. And then with Carl, I suppose, doing long distance, like, will I go into this?
So, you can go into this. I'm just here. I'm like, literally, I'm just like smiling away, listening to your story. I'm like, yeah, keep chatting. I don't have to chat then.
I'm like, am I blabbing it on? But with Carl, then I suppose the one thing so first of all, thing to mention about Carl, he's the most secure person I've ever met. Like, there's a message doing circles of Limerick. Basically, I didn't even know who he was. Some Man United player had messaged me and I sent it to Carl and I was like, haha, can I meet up with him? Like completely joking. Carl was like, work away, hon. I was like, thanks, hon. It was just, and this, like, he's just so secure, like nothing would faze him. So there was such a trust element there. Like I would trust him, he would trust me, whatever. So I was fine going away. And while we were away, just keeping communication and constantly, you know, being like, okay, is there anything you need me to do? Or is there anything that I could do better? There was always this communication there. But then it was like, I just missed him so much. I was like, I just wanted to have cuddles. I wanted to just be back with him. So again, I got to that stage where I was like, okay, we're going to call it a day. And yeah, I'm here now and I just feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I feel like it's the first time in months that I felt like this, which is like so nice, you know?
Yeah, because it sounds like just from what you're saying there that the inner work has been a key part of your business succeeding and you finding your kind of home comforts and that's where you actually want to be, which yeah. I also think a lot of people in general forget that, yes, you need to be the business person, the entrepreneur and be a doer, so to say, but you also need to look at the more kind of feminine energy, I guess, of the business too, and do the inner work and flow. Exactly. Have you found like turning inwards has kind of brought about more success on the external world for you, or what way has it kind of worked for you?
Absolutely. I don't think if I'd done any internal work, I would even be close to where I am, because I had such limiting beliefs. Like I was that person that like, I could not do that. Like, you know, thinking of even coming on Instagram and talking was like, what? Like, no, like that's not okay. And it was like, unless I had actually done all that and went to therapy and sorted all of that out, I would not have done anything. And I think it's doing that inner work to have the belief to even take the first step. And it's like, once you take the first step, it's like taking the second step and then the third step. And then suddenly it's like, I was only thinking about this the other day. You know, when you're in school and like you have your school friends, it's like thinking of like Tracy in school doing what she's doing now would have been so bizarre. And it's like, you know, it's just taking the first few steps. And once you're in the flow and once you're on the path, it gets easier. But it's the initial, I think, shock of people being like, oh, what's going on here? And, you know, being like, what's my friend going to think from school? Or what's the woman down the road going to think? You know, and it's those people that you worry about. So
I mean, I've recently had people that I went to school follow my Instagram page and I have all these fears coming up and I'm just like, oh no, they're going to judge me. What are they doing on my page? And then I'm like, Katie, you know what? Just hit the follow back button. You're fine. Get rid of this fear. You know what? You're a human being. You got to keep going ahead and whatever judgments come about, that's their business, yeah. not mine.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. And I think what holds so many people back is other people's opinions and what people are going to think. And it's like, if you can just let those go, it's a lot easier said than done. It takes time. But if you can just let that go, it's like you'll just grow into yourself and you'll become who you want to be.
Yeah, totally. I just keep thinking, I'm like, are those thoughts actually your thoughts, or are you thinking about someone else's thoughts in their head? Yeah, so bring exactly. it back to you, bring it home.
Yeah, literally, exactly. Like, what do you want? Not what you think someone else wants or the opinions of others. Like, what do you really want?
So I'm going to maybe wrap this up by asking you maybe a bit of a risky question. Maybe you're going to be like, you can't ask me that, but what does future Tracy want for her career, for her personal life, for okay. her goals?
So basically I've started doing this thing where it's like, I'm trying to show up as the woman I want to be. So I imagine who I want to be. And I suppose she is just this strong, independent woman who can use her voice. I feel like at the moment I shy away with my opinion because I'm just afraid of feedback I'm gonna get, but I would love to be able to just use my voice really confidently. I'd love to do public speaking. I feel like I'm gonna go down the public speaking motivational route. Again, that's in a few years. I feel like I have a lot of shit to deal with first myself before I get there, but that's just the person I imagine myself being. I would love to start another business. So that's on the horizon as well. But yeah, I just really want to channel my powerful energy and my, like, you know, trust in myself and back myself and just be my own, I suppose, biggest fan. Because it's like, at the moment, you're probably the same. It's like you're nearly there, but it's like, oh, it's still scary. It's like, no, just step up and just do it. So yeah, I suppose that's my little plan.
I love it. I love the way you just described the woman that you want to become. So you're focusing on the becoming of her now, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be anticipating whatever it is that's going to come on out of your new business, if there's yeah. that route, or I'm going to be watching, yeah. but supporting as well. You. So, you know.
Yeah. And I'll be supporting you. You're doing absolutely amazing.
I have a bit of a risk coming up, but really? I'm going to say I'm opening myself up to criticism and I'm able to take if I get criticized, I get criticized. I'm like, yeah. this is what I need to do. This is like
yeah.
my quote unquote calling, so to say, yeah. I guess, as people say.
I'm
but,
so proud of you. Amazing.
We'll see. But I'm going to say thank you so much for your time. It's been such a pleasure chatting to you, and hopefully there'll be people on listening to the podcast and taking away a few key lessons and life learning. But thank you so much, Tracy, for your time.
No problem,
it's been so much
thank
fun.
Thank you so much for having me.